30 years ago, Colorado became known as the hate state, thanks to something called Amendment 2. It prevented cities and towns from protecting lesbian, gay, and bisexual people from discrimination. A few years later, Amendment 2 was struck down. Much has changed since then. These days, Colorado is seen as a progressive state with inclusive laws. While varying sexual identities have become much more accepted, the topic of gender is what's now heating up in our politics, doctor's offices, and schools. Students trickle into an after-school club at a high school in a Colorado mountain town. These teens carry slouchy backpacks, they're wearing sneakers and hoodies.
I at first joined because I didn't really know anything about the queer community. I wasn't very educated from home.
This club is called the Student Equity Alliance, SEA. It's for LGBTQ plus kids and their friends.
It's just an inclusive, safe space, and you can kind of choose how involved you want to be.
Sometimes they just hang out and play video games. Sometimes they advocate for gender-neutral bathrooms.
Having a space for people to like freely experiment with their identity and not have to worry about what external input might be, whether that's from parents or peers pushing them in one direction or another, is super important because it's a very personal journey.
The lack of parental involvement in the SEA is key for some of these teens. One student lies to their family about going to the club. Another just doesn't mention SEA anymore. When they first told their stepdad about it, he said, "It's brainwashing. This club is turning you queer." Here's a 17-year-old senior we're calling Dee.
I can't lie about where I am because my location is tracked.
The tracking follows a pattern of the teen lying about their whereabouts in middle school. Back then, Dee had started secretly going to prison meetings, a club that's like the SEA, but for younger kids. One afternoon, something happened at one of those meetings.
My dad showed up. He showed up without my knowledge and was very, very angry with me.
Dee could see him through the library's glass windows, walking down the hallway, coming to get them. Dee remembers leaving with their dad that day, crying silent tears.
I wasn't allowed to return, which was quite embarrassing and a little scary.
This incident was an important moment in Dee's life. It teed up conflicts over their identity that would unfold over the coming years. Dee learned to expect anger from their dad. Their dad learned to expect secrecy. Fast forward to 2024. It's Dee's senior year of high school, and the relationship with their dad is evolving.
So they know where I am. They know what I'm doing. It's not something I talk about. I don't go home and say, this is what I did in my club today. It's just, this is the time you need to pick me up.
I'm Stephanie Daniel, and this is The Colorado Dream, Ending the Hate State. Colorado is considered one of the most LGBTQ plus friendly states in the country, but it wasn't always this accepting. This series investigates one of the darkest times in the state's recent history and the activism and legislation that followed. We'll share the stories of LGBTQ plus people and the allies who want to make the Centennial State a welcoming place for all. This is episode 4, Gender in Schools. The topic of gender is a growing issue at schools around the country. While some states have advanced legislation limiting gender expression at school, others, like Colorado, are making changes to be more supportive of trans and non-binary students, like with a new law that requires schools to use the chosen name and pronouns of a transitioning student. These policies are politicized and therefore controversial, but the issues they highlight are personal. KUNC's senior reporter Lee Patterson brings us the story of one Colorado family who is in it right now, living the experiences these efforts are meant to address.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah,
good
morning. Tired.
This is Dee's dad, Jay. I meet him outside of his home in one of Colorado's mountain towns.
Sounds like you had a night.
Yeah.
Jay's a paramedic who just got off the night shift. We're using both father and child's middle initials to protect their privacy in this small town. Jay's spending the morning packing up his enormous RV for a family trip.
So this is going to be your home for the next few weeks?
This is it.
It'll be Jay and his wife, along with their two youngest kids, including Dee.
Yeah, we just pulled it out of storage, and this is like the kids' room.
Inside the RV, the kids' beds raise up.
You just, like, these go all the way up to the ceiling.
To make room to store the dirt bikes, Jay says Dee started riding as a toddler and is absolutely fearless.
We're going to leave at like 6 a.m. First stop's Tetons, and then a day there and a day in Yellowstone, and then we're going to Glacier.
And then all the way up to Canada.
We've already made a lot of memories. We're hoping one last hurrah, one last good time.
This family has road tripped and ridden dirt bikes all over the country. This trip matters a lot. Dee and their older sister are both leaving for college in August, the last of Jay's four kids.
But like our whole lives were spent, you know what I mean? Like, oh, where are we going to take the kids? What are we going to do with the kids? You know, it's like you spend your whole life building this family and then college.
17-year-old Dee is looking forward to college and to the trip. They're a little nervous about being in tight quarters and hope things go okay with their dad. It's been a tough few years in their household. We meet at a park near their home.
I actually took my friend's prom photos here. Literally on this bench.
Dee loves photography and napping in the sun. They're an excellent student, graduating with a 4.1 GPA.
I'm gender nonconforming is the like actual word for it, but I'm kind of just open to anything.
Gender nonconforming, meaning someone who doesn't look or act the way people might expect them to, according to typical gender norms. Growing up, Dee felt like a tomboy, hanging out in the shed with their dad.
Like, I know what a wrench is. I know my way around a shop. So it was all very, like, gender wasn't really a thing in my mind when I was little, because it didn't have to be.
Dee is figuring out their identity, as are other Colorado kids. In a recent statewide survey, around 2 out of every 100 Colorado high schoolers identified as non-binary. 3 out of 100 identified as transgender. Going into middle school, Dee was terrified of puberty. Around this time, they started talking about queerness with their theater friends and started going to that middle school club, Prism. Dee's dad remembers the incident when he showed up, angry that Dee had lied.
And showed up and said, hey, let's go. This isn't where you said you'd be, so you're not going to be here, you know?
Jay says he wasn't really opposed, but he didn't know what the club was about.
There were no permission slips for my kid to go to the Prism Club.
Later on, Jay found out that his child had been eating lunch with other students in a teacher's classroom.
You know, and this teacher was writing my kids letters in the summer saying, I hope all's going well for you, you know, after she graduated middle school. I see you. I know who you really are and all this kind of stuff. You know, this adult sway and influence that definitely is not in school curriculum. Definitely was overstepping her bounds.
An overstepping of a boundary or an inclusive gesture from a caring adult. Back then, the district lacked policies and guidelines related to gender. One administrator said if that type of conversation between a teacher and a student happened now, a counselor would have likely been brought in to help. Things are evolving. In September, the district's Board of Education adopted a name change policy in keeping with a new state law. Students can use a name at school that aligns with their gender identity, but making it official would require a parent's signature. Some of these schools now have gender-neutral bathrooms, and the district is considering the possibility of more comprehensive guidelines. In middle school, Dee started experimenting with pronouns. In 9th grade, they started using a new first name at school.
You know, I haven't been involved at all. They didn't tell me anything. You know, I knew about it before graduation, and they used her new name at graduation.
As a parent, Jay felt unprepared, caught off guard, thrown into identity issues that he did not fully understand.
It would have been nice to have been involved in that conversation maybe 6 or 7 years ago when this stuff was starting to go on, so that I could, A, support my kid, but also have better conversations with my kid about, you know, what do you think's reasonable? What do you think gender is? Like, let's talk about this. Like, don't you have the final say above the school? I mean, that's what it comes down to me. Who's raising your kids? Is it me or is it the school who decides?
Some Northern Colorado school districts have no guidelines in place for how to best support transgender and non-binary students, instead addressing issues as they come up. Others have procedures for when a student wants to socially transition, like how to handle names, pronouns, sports team participation, and bathrooms. Parental involvement is suggested, but generally optional.
If kids are afraid to tell their parents, that's information.
Dr. Bethy Leonardi is the co-director of a queer endeavor at the University of Colorado Boulder School of Education. She works with districts to implement their gender-inclusive guidelines.
And we need to listen to them. And we need to say, okay, so why would your parents not be included in this process? Let's talk about that.
Some kids are worried about being abused or kicked out. But many fear something more common: rejection at home and fighting with their families. Leonardi says gender identity isn't something bad to report to parents. It's beautiful.
And if you can promise me that you're going to make this experience beautiful with them, beautifully complex, hard, all the things that coming out as anything other than what counts as normal, if you can promise me that you're on board for that, then yeah.
Colorado is one of the most LGBTQ plus friendly states in the country, but there's still work to be done. And how to address gender inclusion in schools is one of the latest debates. As it plays out in politics and the courts, families are dealing with issues of identity at home. Sometimes they feel supported and affirmed by school policies. Sometimes they feel powerless when their child leaves home for the day. Coming up, Dee comes out to their family. But first, Lee talks with one parent who is trying to take her child's experience all the way to the statewide ballot.
And as my daughter left the room, the teacher pulled her aside and said, "Remember, you don't have to tell your parents."
That's after the break.
In the NoCo is KUNC's news and culture podcast. It's a great way to stay informed on the issues that matter most to our Colorado communities.
When people have the opportunity to help in a disaster, especially when they're fellow survivors, this can actually help with their own mental health and emotional recovery after the disaster.
I'm In the Know co-host Erin O'Toole. Follow the podcast for free at KUNC.org or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
I'm Stephanie Daniel, and this is The Colorado Dream, Ending the Hate State from KUNC News. How to handle gender inclusion in schools is a major political issue at the local, state, and national level. The Supreme Court recently paused enforcement of new protections for transgender students in several states. In Colorado, those protections will stand, in part thanks to a similar state law. Gender guidelines in schools are partly based on these laws. This includes Colorado's new name change law for students. To misname a student intentionally could now be considered discrimination and a possible civil rights violation. Meanwhile, families across Colorado are wrestling with the complexities of gender identity. Some believe students should have the time and space to explore their identity. Others say that parents should be involved because they are the parents, period. Lee Patterson picks up the story here.
Are you from Colorado?
Yeah.
Well, I would love to get your signature. Yeah, so we're...
Erin Lee is a mother of three from Larimer County. She stands behind a table at a homeschooling conference in South Denver.
We have two issues. The first one...
Erin wants people to sign a petition attached to her clipboard. She makes her case to a mom walking by the table, bouncing a baby on her hip.
If a child is experiencing gender incongruence or identifying as the opposite sex at school, that the parents need to be notified.
Erin is collecting signatures for a ballot initiative backed by Protect Kids Colorado, a religious political advocacy group.
And signing it doesn't say that you agree or disagree. It just says that you agree, think that Colorado voters should have a say in November. So we're trying to get these on the ballot.
On the ballot, okay.
The measure would require schools to notify families within 48 hours if a child is changing pronouns or using a different bathroom. Lawmakers in Idaho and South Carolina approved similar legislation earlier this year.
That's okay. If you'll just cross that and initial it.
This effort falls broadly into the category of parental rights. It's a longstanding conservative political movement which aims to give some parents more of a say in public education, particularly around sensitive cultural issues.
Yeah, thank you.
Erin is motivated by personal experience. She remembers back when it all began.
May 4th, 2021, a Tuesday I'll never forget.
Erin says that was the day a teacher invited her 11-year-old to a club at her middle school in Poudre School District.
So she gets there, and it's actually gender and sexuality awareness.
An outside speaker was at the Gender and Sexualities Alliance Club, a school-sponsored club listed on the middle school's website.
Just had what I believe to be really inappropriate conversations in confidence with my daughter.
A conversation, she says, about gender identity, attraction, and queerness.
They repeatedly reiterated that parents might not be safe, that this is a confidential meeting, that what you hear in here, keep in here.
After coming home, the child did tell Erin and her husband about the meeting. The next day, they kept the middle schooler home. The child has never been back.
My impressionable child is barely 12. She sleeps with a stuffed animal and orders from the kids' menu.
1 week later, Erin stood up at a Board of Education meeting and said through a flowered face mask that her child suffered emotional trauma because of the GSA meeting.
We deserve transparency. There must be a way for a program like this to exist for our teens without hurting our children.
Poudre School District wouldn't confirm the details of the GSA meeting that day, but a spokesperson did write in an email to KUNC that the district does not condone anyone suggesting that students should lie to their families. Soon after, Erin's child said they wanted to transition. Erin went along with it at first.
And as she tried to make that trans label fit, it was so confusing and ill-fitting for her that it made her depressed. Probably the hardest thing I've ever done is getting a suicide note from my 12-year-old daughter.
Erin blames all of this on the after-school club. She insists her child didn't have any gender dysphoria prior and was just uncomfortable in her body. After the incident, Erin tried everything to prove that what happened to her family was wrong. She called the school, wanting to know exactly what was said during the meeting. Then she went to local law enforcement to ask if any crime might have been committed. She sued Poudre School District, alleging a violation of her parental rights. Since then, she's made a documentary with a former state senator and done the rounds with conservative media. Erin's views have changed over time. On social media, she writes about the demonic agenda and that gender ideology is a cult. I asked her if this language could sound aggressive.
So I can see how some things I post about my personal opinion on sex could come off that way. And obviously my opinion has shifted, has really been molded by my experience talking with other families. I personally believe that sex is innate, that it's not changeable. And I have seen so many kids struggle from trying to make the transgender label fit that I believe the ideology is harmful when it's put in front of kids.
Under Poudre School District's new guidelines, a student essentially has the right to live out their gender identity at school. Students can choose to fill out the school's gender support form by themselves. The district doesn't track how often school staff are working with students in this way, nor do they track the use of its gender support form. In an email to KUNC, a district spokesperson wrote that anecdotally, most students do involve their parents. For Erin Lee, the mom behind the Gender in Schools ballot initiative, things have settled down at home. Erin says her child is happier now at a Christian school in northern Colorado. Erin has been spending her weekends gathering signatures at rodeos and churches.
We anticipate that this is not going to be just a 2024 effort, that if we don't get the signatures, we absolutely will be back.
Dee, the high school senior who grew up in the mountains riding dirt bikes, says they've benefited from exploring their gender at their after-school club, confident none of it would get back to their dad. If school had been required to notify Dee's parents, they think they would have been too scared to explore their identity.
I think I would definitely still be elementary school me. I think I'd be doing only sports and kind of trying to live for my parents.
In 2022, Dee decided it was time to come out. They were tired of hiding.
I had the bright idea to do it on Christmas. I don't recommend doing that.
Their whole family was gathered at their dad's house for the holiday.
But it took me hours because it was terrible. I was just sitting there like, I can't talk, I can't breathe. I think I was having a panic attack, honestly.
On top of that, Dee wasn't even sure what they were telling their family. At the time, Dee wasn't into guys, wasn't interested in relationships, thought maybe they were pansexual.
The overall idea that I was trying to say was that something is different.
Their dad, Jay, remembers it.
At the most inopportune time, we're all sitting around and Christmas is sort of over and winding down, and she pops into the living room.
And I ended up coming out to everyone, and I said it, and I was like, they, them pronouns, my name is...
Comes out and says, hey, I'm non-binary, and this is my name. Don't call me my old name anymore. That's all. Thanks. And, like, exits. And we're like, what? What was that?
Non-binary is an umbrella term for people who don't identify as men or women.
And my dad's, unfortunately, his first response was, you'll always be my daughter, which is not the best thing to say.
And then I remember having to go into a room later and say, listen, I don't care what it is you think that you are or what you identify with or what name you want to make up. I mean, the name I gave you is made up anyways. You're just a being of light that's on this planet for however long, and it doesn't matter. You are who you are to me. You're my daughter, and, you know, and I'll always love you.
Soon after, Jay looked up the definition of non-binary, trying to wrap his head around the meaning. He was confused. Sex, for him, is identifiable and fixed, something that humans are born with. Gender, on the other hand, is about how you see yourself or express yourself. Underneath all of this is worry. Jay explains why, trying to choose his words carefully.
And I don't mean it in a negative way toward the LGBTQ community, but, and I don't want to draw a conclusion and say it's because they're LGBTQ, but what I will say is that statistically, that community has a way higher incidence of drug abuse, suicide.
Non-binary and trans teens do experience much higher rates of behavioral health struggles. In Colorado, non-binary youth seriously consider suicide at more than 3 times the rate of their peers. Stigma, politics, and rejection by family all play a role in these mental health outcomes. What Jay sees for his child is a more difficult path, setting themselves up for a life with more struggle.
And now she's trying on this new identity and hanging out with these new people and painting herself as non-binary or trans in that way. You know, I'm afraid that she's going to take this off to college.
Since Dee came out 2 years ago, a lot has changed. They graduated from high school in May. Dee's dad bought them a tan SUV to take to college in August. It's a 2002. Older than me, Dee likes to point out.
This is what you're working on with your dad.
Yes. It has decided to make a new noise in the past, like, 3 days. It clicks now. It goes...
How does your dad feel about you leaving?
You'll call me every day, right? Even if it's just for an hour? No, I will not.
I'm gonna miss you.
He's so sad.
Their dad, Jay, agrees.
Ah, it's so hard. This is the last couple kids going off to college at the same time. It's sad. I'm sure that I'm going to cry the whole way home, you know? And it's a beautiful thing. Life's impermanent, and that's what you knew was going to happen all along.
He knows that in the past, their fighting and his anger about Dee's gender identity made things worse.
I mean, on the one hand, you don't want to just let your kid do whatever and go, oh, yes, dear, okay. You also want to do it in a tactful, skillful way. You know, and I haven't always been the best.
Their final summer road trip up north to Canada was a big deal. During the trip, Jay texted me photos. A selfie of him and his teen standing in front of an impossibly clear blue lake and snow-dusted mountains. Jay says during those weeks in the RV, they spent a lot of time together and didn't fight much.
Hey, sorry for missing your call, but I wanted to get you the update on how my trip went.
The day they got back to Colorado, Dee sent me this voice memo. Things went pretty well with their dad, Jay.
Thankfully, he did use my name a lot. He still struggles with pronouns, which is okay, but it's clear that he's putting in the effort at this point, which I'm very thankful for. And I'm glad we had this trip to, like, really connect. We went on some drives, just us two, to kind of go look for, like, wildlife and just talk. So that was pretty fun.
In August, Dee started settling into life at college 2 hours away. Their dad, Jay, was so sad on the drive home, but is now getting used to them being gone. That same month, Aaron Lee, the backer of the Gender in Schools ballot initiative, announced some news. The group didn't gather enough signatures to get the measure in front of voters this November. On the steps of the state capitol, she said that the group behind the initiative is here to stay. On the next episode of The Colorado Dream, Ending the Hate State, we explore how Colorado has moved beyond the moniker, the Hate State, to be the first state in the country to elect an openly gay governor.
We've certainly evolved a lot from where we were in 1992 in many ways, and I think we're a state that celebrates individuality and really respects people for who they are.
That's next time on The Colorado Dream. The Colorado Dream, Season 4, Ending the Hate State, is a production from KUNC News. It's hosted and produced by me, Stephanie Daniel. This episode was written and reported by Lee Patterson. Editing by Sean Corcoran. The theme song was composed by Jason Patton. Michelle Rado sound designed and mixed the episode. The music is from Blue Dot Sessions and Sound of Pictures. Jennifer Coombs is the digital editor. Special thanks to Trayvall Anderson, Scott Franz, Dendela Fuente, Brad Turner, Gabe Allen, Kim Race, Robert Legia, Emma Vandenindy, and Mike Arnold. Tammy Terwalp is KUNC's president and CEO. The Colorado Dream is sponsored by the Colorado Community College System. To see photos of the people included in this episode and learn more about the terminology we used, go to kunc.org/coloradodream or check out the show notes for a link.